I consider this to be on the lighter side because to me, some of these things just really seem almost humorous, and yet they aren't necessarily humorous, but they just seem that way sometimes, the things that people come up with. We want to talk about the danger of going to extremes. The danger of going to extremes. And sometimes some of the extremes to which some people go are just so outlandish that it almost does make you want to laugh. That somebody could actually believe that would be a good way to do things. But even though it does seem ridiculous, the fact of the matter is there are a lot of people who really do get caught up in some of this outrageous type of thinking, and so we want to look at that. I believe it was Benjamin Franklin who said, "Don't be the first to try something new, nor the last to give up the old." And that seems odd for a fellow who was an inventor. I would think he'd want everybody to be the first one to try out his new invention, but he seemed to have a good idea that, you know, you don't want to be the one who's at the extreme. You want to be somewhere in the middle. Philippians 4 and verse 5 says, "Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand." And when we think about the word moderation, we think about something that is moderate, something that's not to either extreme, something that's appropriate for a particular occasion, not something that's outlandish or that draws attention. But we need to be that kind of individuals. We need to let people see us to be someone who is not so radical, so far out there that we're unreachable, untouchable. So we're going to look, I know there are 10 things on there, but we're going to look at them real briefly because they're not, we're not going to spend a lot of time on them. We need to be sure that we avoid these extremes. Don't be tempted by extremes. Don't be tempted by extremes in entertainment and recreation. Now there are two extremes in each of these cases, and we're going to mention them just briefly. One extreme, we talk about entertainment and recreation. There is the extreme that says, "Well, that's my entertainment. I can do whatever I want to do, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't affect me. I can watch the movies with all of the sex and all of the violence and all the bad language, and it doesn't bother me because that's just my entertainment." It will affect you. Don't think you can just do whatever just because it's entertainment. Then on the other extreme, though, or there are those who say, "Well, a Christian can't go to the movie. A Christian can't own a TV. You can't be a Christian and own a TV because that's the devil's work right there." And both of those extremes are dangerous. And so we need to avoid the extreme. We need to use caution, and we also need to use some moderation. And I mentioned just, you know, the movie or the TV, but it comes in all of those areas, whether it's music, whether it's whatever recreational activity, whether it's fishing or golfing, you know, whatever, hunting, anything that you're doing, don't go to the extreme. You know, we talked in class about somebody who thought it's a sin to play cards. Don't go to those extremes. People won't take you seriously about things you're serious about when you go so far to extremes in other areas. And then on the other side, of course, if you just let anything go, I would say, "Well, it's my recreation. I can recreationally use drugs if I want to." Then you go to that extreme. Then folks aren't going to take you seriously because they're going to realize that you aren't any kind of an example to follow. So either extreme is dangerous. Secondly, don't be tempted by extremes in fashion and style. You know, you could go absolutely broke and so far in debt that you could never get out of it trying to keep up with the latest fashion because there's a new one every month. You know, their fashion magazine, you know, If you tried to buy all the fashion magazines, you'd probably go broke. There's so many fashion magazines on the rack. You know, you go to some place like Books A Million, and they got a whole they've got a whole wall full of magazines. It's unbelievable. But you know, you got all those something about fashion and style, and you're so concerned about wearing what's in and what the newest fashion is. And then next week it's going to change because some actress somewhere wore something. Oh, look at this, is the new fashion. Some designer designed something out of potato sacks, and that's the greatest new thing, and so everybody's got to go get that. And then the next week they design something out of leaves, and so then you got to go get that. And, you know, and it gets ridiculous. And those things, you know, thousands of dollars for all this. So on the other hand, though, we don't want to be so backwards that we draw attention to ourselves either. See, that's what we talk about, moderation. You know, if we're still dressing like it's 1650, and men got our powdered wigs, and we're wearing our little high-heeled shoes and all those things like they did back in the 1600s, folks will think there's something wrong with us. And probably there would be. So we've got to watch out for those extremes. So we don't just ignore those things, but then we also don't get caught up in the latest fads either. We use some moderation. Then, of course, the third one, don't be tempted by extremes in politics. Now, some people just become absolute fanatics when it comes to politics. It gets scary. You're afraid to be around some folks because you're afraid that if you disagree with them about politics, they may kill you. And there are some people out there, of course, who do. Most of the wars that are fought, despite what some people say about most of them being about religion, most of the wars that are fought are politics. That's what wars are about, is politics. But we can get caught up, and we can get caught up to any extreme or the other. Then on the other hand, there are those who say, well, a Christian shouldn't have anything to do with politics. I know and David Lipscomb, who founded Lipscomb University, he said a Christian shouldn't even vote. If you're a Christian, you shouldn't even vote because we're not citizens of this world. Well, that's a little extreme to say, well, you shouldn't vote because this may not be our permanent abode, but we do live here. And we do want to see that the right things are done. So, you know, things that come up on the ballot, that we need to vote for those things. Certainly some things are more important than others. There are some things on the ballot that I have trouble figuring out why they're on the ballot in the first place. I know this last election last year, they did something on the ballot there about some city somewhere raising their tax. And I thought, well, I don't even live there. Why am I voting about that? None of my business what that city over there does. Let the people that live there decide what they're going to do. You know, sometimes I wonder why we are voting for those things. But no, we go and vote. That's a good opportunity for us to voice our opinion about things in this country. And we should be thankful for it because some countries don't have that option. Or I guess if they're like Iraq was when it was under Saddam Hussein's control, you can go and vote as long as you vote for him. And then you're okay, but you just don't vote for anybody else. Heaven help the person who actually thinks they're going to run against him. Well, that's not going to happen. So we are fortunate to have the freedom to exercise the rights that we have to be able to vote and some of those things. And so we need to be thankful for that, but avoid the extremes in those things. Then we need to beware and not be tempted by extremes in finances. You know, some folks, they couldn't hold on to a penny. They'd have to figure out some way to spend it. They just gotta, and then, of course, you know, there are extremes of the trying to get rich quick. And whether it be by gambling or whether it be by every new, we talk about fads and fashion. There are fads in business as well. I heard one on the radio this morning. I was going to pick somebody up for church, and they were advertising this new latest business that you could get into that you'd get rich off of. And it's always something like that. We've got to watch out for those extremes. And then on the other extreme, too, we have some folks who wouldn't spend a penny to save their life. So you got some folks that can't hold on to a penny and some folks that won't let go of one. And can you imagine if those two got married? Can you imagine what kind of house that'd be? But you know, we do have to beware of the extremes in these areas. We have to do things that make sense and think about it. And in the family setting, we have to work together and make decisions about what's best for our family and not get radical about things. And what's good for one family in the area of finances may not be good for another. We have to remember that. If you're living on an income of $600 a month, you can't do the same thing with your finances as the fellow that makes $600 a week. You just can't. And we have to realize that. And so we have to avoid those extremes and use some moderation. But then we realize, too, even folks who have wealth, they need to use some moderation, some constraint. They don't need to go just so outlandish and just make a show of that. They need to be using that excess finance, the excess financial ability that they have in a good way, for good purposes, to help others and to help spread the gospel and various other things that they can do. Then we see, number five, don't be tempted by extremes in health and food issues. We get caught up on those, don't we? There's always a new diet out every week, isn't there? And this is the diet that's going to help everybody in the world. Well, we got different body types, we got different metabolisms, we got different health issues with different people, and some people but they're going to jump from one thing to another. And watch out for those extremes. Don't get caught up in that. It's not healthy to be worried about your health all the time. And sometimes, now on the other side, you got some folks that say, well, I'm going to die of something anyway, so I'm just going to go out here and eat nothing but donuts and bacon. You know, and that's not, we have to at least do some things that are reasonable for our health. But I know Ron was talking, a new study came out about coffee's bad for you. Well, there was one out before that coffee was good for you. And the one before that said coffee was bad for you. And the one before that, and they're back and forth on all these studies all the time about this is good for you and then the next month it'll kill you. So, realize that those folks get grant money from the government to study that stuff, and so they got to study it, and they study it over and over again and come up with a different conclusion to justify why they had to study it again. And that's why all these studies and then of course a lot of times they hadn't even finished the study and haven't actually published. They just, we noticed that, there was one more person that died in this group than in that group. And then, later on they realized, it was just, that person died of something that's completely unrelated to our study. They got hit by a bus. But, that never makes the news, does it? Those things don't get on the news. It was only somebody died. Well, I heard recently about the newest fad diet, and there haven't been too many people that have jumped on the bandwagon with this one, but supposedly one person did. It was the air and water diet. They had become so concerned about the environment, about hurting, injury. They became a vegetarian and then a vegan, and then they were afraid they were hurting those plants by killing those plants to eat them, so they were going to quit that too. So all they had was air and water. Well, you can imagine how long they lived. That was the end of that fad diet. But we need to realize that while we should do those things that are healthy, we shouldn't go out of our way to be unhealthy, but we need not go to extreme either and say, well, I'm never going to do something. I'm never, never, ever going to eat a bowl of ice cream. Of course, there are some people who have, because of bad health choices in the past, they've gotten themselves to a position now where the doctor said, you can't eat this particular thing anymore. And that's because they ate too much of it already. You only eat so much in your life. And it'll get you. But we need to be careful of the extreme. And we talked about that a little in class Wednesday night. The one that won't eat meat. And not to judge the one that can't eat the meat. And those kinds of things. But there are some people who go to those extremes. You see the billboards. PETA, I guess, that puts up these billboards. People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. Now, as I understand, I don't know about... I'm always been kind of fuzzy on the difference between ethics and morals. According to eat animals, and it's perfectly ethical and perfectly moral for us to do so. But these folks seem to think that killing an animal, even if you're going to eat it, is a bad thing. And they constantly do all sorts of things. They even go to such extremes that they will flat out lie. I know there was a billboard up in Texas, I think in cattle country, which was probably not the best place to put a PETA billboard. But they put up a billboard that said Jesus was a vegetarian. Now, these are some folks who obviously had never read the Bible. Jesus was a Jew, and he certainly did not eat pork like some of us do, but he certainly ate lamb and fish, and there's a good chance he also ate some eggs and some chicken and probably some beef somewhere along the line in his lifetime. Those all being things that come from meat. sometimes people just go to extremes. Alright, number six. Don't be tempted by extremes in sexuality. And they said, well, I'm not tempted by that. Well, but our society is trying. It's trying to push this idea that anything goes, which is quite to the other extreme of what it used to be, where nothing goes. there was actually, I can only imagine how well this group would go over today, but there was a group called the Shakers. It's a religious group that actually taught and believed that it was a sin for even a husband and a wife to have sex. Can you imagine how well that group went over? Well, I guess they actually had quite a following for a while. Unfortunately, because they didn't believe in having sex, they all died out. So we got to avoid the extremes. Okay? Now we're in the other extreme where they said, well, anything goes. And I saw a news story this past week where in Yemen, they have quite a logical law that forbids grown adult people from marrying little children. That's quite reasonable. Well, some of the Islamic people who have no qualms whatsoever about that are suing to try to get that law changed so that they can marry little children. They fit right in with the NAMBLA organization here in the United States. NAMBLA is the North American Man-Boy Love Association, which is a homosexual organization that is also trying to lift the restrictions so that those men can marry little boys. You see, these things are going on. These extreme things. Well, anything goes. And then, and you've got all sorts of things that are extreme. What we need to remember, of course, is that God created sex for the marriage relationship, and it needs to be held to that relationship, and under those circumstances, it's fine. But not to get it outside of that and we get ourselves into trouble whenever we do things that are contrary to what God has ordained. Then number seven, don't be tempted by extremes in verbal expression. You know, there are some people who say, well, I'm going to speak the truth. But they forget that in love part, and they'll just go out there saying whatever they want to say to whoever they want to say it to and hurting everybody in their path. Because they're speaking the truth. And that's harmful. And that's a dangerous thing. You've also got people who say, who are very concerned about every little thing. I can't say anything because it might offend somebody. Maybe they just need to join a monastery with a silence code and just abstain from speaking. Because the fact of the matter is, if you speak, yeah, somebody's going to get offended. It's just going to happen. It doesn't matter how hard you try. Somebody's going to take offense. to something that is said. So we have to simply do the best we can and let our moderation be known. We don't go out of our way to offend people, but we also need to realize that there are times where we do have to speak the truth, and even if it's done in love, some people are going to be offended. And I think about this as well. I know the Bible says that every idle word will be taken into account at judgment. So we do need to be cautious about how we use our words. And we also realize that some people have overdone it. I had a teacher. He was one of the teachers at Faulkner. I never actually took a class with him. He had a list of words. It was Brother Benson's euphemism list. And he handed it out to the students in his class. And it was a list of words that, they weren't really bad words, but they were words that took the place of cuss words or something to that effect, okay? So he was telling that you shouldn't say any of these words. Somebody might say, "Oh, brother," and say, "Well, you shouldn't say that because that is like somebody else who would say something else that would be bad, and so you shouldn't say it." Now, on the other extreme, of course, some people say, "Well, you know, they're just letters, they're just words." And so you just say whichever one, you know, whatever you want to say, and it doesn't matter. And the F word isn't any worse of a word than any other word. And so why do we make a big deal out of it? And I know to some degree where they're going with that, but I also know why they're saying they don't want to have to watch their language at all. They want to be able to say anything. The Bible does say, "Don't let any corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth." And our society has decreed and determined that certain words are corrupt. They won't let them out over the radio or the network television. Then a Christian ought not be saying them. And then there are some of those things that are allowed but still aren't acceptable and so forth. So there are extremes that people go to. Well, don't be tempted by extremes in theology. You know, sometimes that we can get off to extremes about our theology. The Sadducees and Pharisees were good about that. The Sadducees had gone to the extreme that they didn't even believe in angels. Now, one wonders how they read the Old Testament and didn't believe in angels. They must not have believed the Old Testament very well. As the Old Testament talks about angel of the Lord this and the angel of the Lord that. And all over the place there were angels. But they didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in spirits. They didn't believe in the resurrection. They thought when you were dead like Rover. You're dead all over. And that was the end of that. Now, on the other hand, you had the Pharisees who, while they were right about the angels and spirits, the resurrection, they went to some other extreme. They went to such an extreme that they got mad at Jesus' disciples because they picked a little bit of grain and ate it out of the field. They weren't mad thinking that the disciples had stolen the grain, mind you. What they were mad about was because it was Saturday, and you can't do that on Saturday. Now, there was nothing wrong with the disciples actually eating the grain. It was the fact that they plucked it off of the plant, because that's farming. If you harvested that grain on the Sabbath, and that's work. It was okay to eat it, just couldn't pluck it. Okay? And they got mad at Jesus because he healed somebody on Saturday. And that was a bad, you can't, and Jesus said, you know what? If you guys had a sheep that fell in the ditch, you'd go get it out on Saturday. If you would let your cow or your oxen, you'd let it loose to go get some water on the Sabbath day. I hadn't done anything worse than to loose this person from the bounds that Satan had binded them up all this time with this. He said, you guys have just gone to extremes. Well, sometimes in the religious world today, we go to some extremes like that with some of our theological thinking. And we've got to beware of that. You know, sometimes, certainly, you know, we think about a Bible translation. it's good to have a reliable translation that you can, you know, it's good, it's accurate, and it's dependable. That's good. But when we get to the point where we say, well, there's such and such, the only translation we can use, that's the only one that we can use. Now, wait a minute. What did all those people do all those times before that one was translated? That wasn't the one that Peter and Paul used. In fact, the translation of the Bible that Jesus and Peter and Paul used was the Septuagint. And that thing's got so many errors in it, we wonder how they got some accurate understanding of the Bible. You realize that in the Septuagint version of the Bible, which Jesus and the apostles used, that was the only one they had in the Greek language, you realize Methuselah lived past the time of the flood and he wasn't on the boat? I guess he tread water pretty good, but... You know, but we don't read about Jesus condemning the Septuagint translation because it had that error in it or some other errors. Now, certainly, if we have a choice of a translation that's better and more accurate, we make a wise choice on that. But we just got to be careful going to extremes with things where we say, well, you can't be a... I realize, and different schools have different ones, that... the Memphis School of Preaching, it was always, you got to use the King James. Out at Bear Valley, it was always, you got to use the New American Standard. And I often wonder, which one was it then? And then, of course, I know, everybody has their favorite translation for one reason or another. And it's okay to have a favorite, one you're comfortable with, one you've memorized your scripture or read more and so forth. But of course, then you get off into, well, you got the Living Translation, which really isn't a translation at all. It's a paraphrase. Some guy just said, well, I want to tell Bible stories to my kids. Well, that's one thing for me to tell my kids a Bible story. It's another thing for me to publish that in a book and make out that that's an accurate translation of what the apostles and other writers of the Bible wrote on God's behalf. But we need to watch out for extremes in theology. We need to watch out then. Don't be tempted by extremes in emotional reaction. And really, in some ways, this hits closer to this verse than any of those. The word moderation is also used in some other places in the New Testament. And in two of those other places, it's translated patient. And in another two places, it's translated gentle or gentleness. And so this idea, too, of being so emotional, not that it's wrong to have emotions, but that we allow our emotional reactions to get the better of us. That we're yelling and screaming and red-faced, angry at somebody. That we're calling all sorts of names on somebody, but then they say something to us and we're crying and oh, they're picking on me. We can dish it out, but we can't take it and that kind of, but we just react emotionally instead of thinking our way through things. We get these extreme reactions. A lot of times when becomes a violent situation, it's because of an emotional reaction, not because of a logical reason for these kinds of things. That's the kind of thing that happens sometimes, a lot of times in domestic disputes. It escalates to the point of violence. And then when you get down to, well, what actually caused this? They start going, they don't even know. Because it started out with something as silly as, well, they put the toilet paper roll on backwards, or he left the cap off the toothpaste, and here they've just about killed each other, and in some cases have. One of them has killed the other over something that, wait a minute, it was just an emotional reaction. So we've got to be able to control those emotional reactions and not go to extremes On the other hand, however, we are not designed to be like Mr. Spock from the old Star Trek series, who never had an emotional... I think the doctor, one time he said to him, he said, "You wouldn't know what to do with a warm human feeling if you ever had one." And so there are some folks that are. They're just so cold and so unemotional that they would never be able to have an emotion. And that's a sad situation as well. But we need to avoid the extreme. And then don't be tempted by extremes in relationships. We need to be cautious of the relationships that we have. The Bible certainly tells us that evil communications corrupt good manners. It tells us that we see, you know, the difference between David, who had a good friend, and Jonathan, and how he helped him, versus David's son, Amnon, who had quite a wicked friend in Jonadab. And you say, well, you know what? Here, look at the difference in the way that these two supposed friends led their friends into dangerous situations. So we need, but then some people will say, "Well, I can't have any relationship with anybody who's not a Christian." Then, well, no, we can't very well be the light of the world and the salt of the earth if we never have a relationship with somebody who's not a Christian. So we have to avoid the extremes, but we do have to be cautious as well, especially if we're in a weak position or if we're as a new Christian or something. We need to be aware that, yeah, those can be dangerous situations that we get into. So we need to watch out for all of those extremes. Do you find yourself tempted by some of those extremes sometimes? I think we all have tendencies every once in a while toward one extreme or another. And we have to battle that. We have to come back to the center, so to speak. You know, in almost every situation, there are two extremes, and the truth is somewhere in the middle. And we need to be sure that we're aiming for the truth of the matter and not heading for one of the extremes. One of the ways in argumentation, and I don't mean, you know, being argumentative, but in debate, in the carrying out of a logical argument, when people are arguing a position over something, one of the ways that they know whether they're right or wrong or where they are, they take a statement about something and they say, okay, now let's carry that all the way out to its extreme and we'll see where we wind up. If carrying it to its extreme, you still have something that's not too crazy, then that's probably a pretty good argument. But if when you carry it to its extreme, you come up with something that is just ridiculous, then you've got a problem. I'll give you one example of that. Some have said that money from the church treasury cannot be used to help someone who is not a Christian. Well, let's carry that to an extreme then. Here you have a situation where you have filled up the church van. It's okay to fill up the church van with church funds because that's the church van. And you are on your way to go pick up people for church Sunday morning. Right in front of you is a horrific accident. And someone is in danger for their life. Unfortunately, they were already riding in the ambulance, and so you can't call for the ambulance to take them on to the hospital. Now, they're about to die. But in order to save this individual, you would have to put them in this church van and drive them to the hospital. Well, you can't do that. That would be using church funds to help somebody who's not a Christian. That's absolutely ridiculous. You're going to let somebody die because you're not going to help them? Because that money... See? That's the kind of outlandish thing you wind up with if you take it all the way to its extreme. I'll give you one more example. You look at an extreme. People often ask the person who believes in baptism for the remission of sins. They say, well, what if somebody's on the way to be baptized and they get, you know, a car breaks down on the railroad tracks, they're hit by a train and killed, and they never make it to the building to be baptized? That's why we believe that you just believe in Jesus Christ and invite Him into your heart, and that's how you're saved. Okay. Well, what if somebody was about to believe and ask Jesus into his heart and they died of a heart attack? Same argument. See? They're using a faulty argument. They're trying to say, well, if you, then you, yeah. You can do that with whatever you believe it takes to be saved. You can still say, well, what if they were about to do it, but something happened, they died, and they couldn't? You can do that with anything. You see, in that case, what we have to do is we have to stick with what the Bible says. The Bible clearly teaches that we must repent and be baptized to wash our sins away. If you're here and you have a need to respond to the invitation, perhaps you need to do that tonight. You still have sin in your life because you have never become a Christian. You need to get those sins washed away. If you're here and you are a Christian, but perhaps you find yourself going to all sorts of extremes, you need to get back in the middle of the road. You know, in the Old Testament, they were told to obey God and to walk in His paths and not depart to the